Morning. All right. You need supplies for this talk. Does everybody have, you need three things, some paper to write on, a Sharpie, and a white stone. We're going to write two different things. One is kind of a letter or a list to burn up. The other is on your little white stone. That's why you need the Sharpie. Unity packs all its ritual into these 2 weeks, Christmas and New Year's. So once you have your supplies, just hang on to them. We will use them in meditation, so it'll be a little while before you need them. Okay. So when I was a little girl, every December my mother would say, "Why don't you clean out your closet to make room for all the things you're going to get for Christmas?" I probably wasn't old enough to know the word manipulative, but I knew that it was. I knew she just wanted me to clean out my closet, but I also knew I was going to be getting more things for Christmas. The thing was, I never planned to put any of the new stuff away in the closet. I was going to keep it out and play with it and use it and admire it forever. Of course, the closet was full of stuff that I had once thought I would want to keep forever. The Barbie clothes and the hula hoop. And the metal roller skates, remember those? You had to tighten them with a key that always got lost, and then they would rust. I am so old. So I had a closet full of things I wasn't using anymore. Turns out that closet was a metaphor for life. There are a few precious things that we keep and enjoy as long as we live. But most of the things that we were so eager to receive pass through our lives and move on. People come and go. Friends, romances, often marriages, come to pass. Some family members die and some are born. Children grow up and leave and then sometimes come back home and sometimes leave again. Our jobs change throughout our lives. Even if you stay with the same employer, which is rare now, you'll do different things for them. The places we live change. Houses, apartments, assisted living. The house that you were so excited to buy, eventually you'll be ready or even eager to sell. And the smaller things, we just go through so many cars and clothes and electronics and books in a lifetime. We finish with them and toss them out like last week's flowers. And actually the flowers, nature is our best teacher that nothing is permanent or intended to be. When the trees leaf out in summer, the leaves won't stay forever. They'll drop off. The tree will be bare for a while, and then it'll start fresh again. The natural flow of the universe includes release. Tides come in and go back out. The moon waxes and wanes. Our bodies inhale and exhale. And both are necessary. This is our evolutionary impulse to keep moving forward and changing and growing. And that means leaving the old behind so we can experience what's next to make life better. Probably no other time of year are we more consciously in the flow, letting go of the old to make room for the new. So we have these two ceremonies today to signify releasing and receiving. The first is the burning bowl, which I didn't encounter till I came to Unity. I think it's done in most Unity churches and maybe others too. Write down whatever you wish to leave behind in the old year. And at the end of the service, we'll go outside and burn it up in a carefully contained fire. The second is the white stone ceremony where you listen in meditation for a word or a phrase to guide you through the coming year and write it on your stone. So I want to talk a little more about both of these and about the process of moving from old to new. And then I'll lead a meditation and first give you some time to write what you want to burn and then give you time to write on your white stone. We did two separate meditations last year. This year it's one, a two-part meditation. So let me make a suggestion. Many of you have done this before and you already have in mind what you want to write or a word that you expect for your stone. And that's fine. I've actually started a list to burn as well. But I suggest you move through this process today slowly, step by step, willing to be open to receive. Clear your mind of whatever you came expecting and ask for greater clarity or deeper purpose. Approach this as if it were the first time. just relax into the wonder of communing directly with Spirit. That's what mysticism means. Direct knowing of the divine. And let yourself be open to receive. So, truth time. Was anyone else just the tiniest bit relieved that the world did not end on December 21st, 2012? I knew it wouldn't, but still. There was no cataclysm, no big earthquakes or tsunamis. There was bad news and tragedy in December, but the North and South Poles didn't switch places. The rapture didn't come. At least no one I know is missing. The world was supposed to end last year, too. Remember that? That radio host, Harold Camping, said it would. He said the rapture was coming in May of 2011, and those of us left behind would suffer until October, and then the earth would be destroyed. Turns out he had also predicted the end of the world in 94 and 95. It happens a lot. Pat Robertson said the world would end in 1982, and again in 2007. I suspect his ratings were getting low. Both times. Jerry Falwell said the world would end on January 1st, 2000, Y2K. The early Christians predicted the end of the world in the year 500, and then again in 1000. There's something about a lot of zeros, big round numbers that are scary. Of course, the first followers of Jesus expected him back to end the world in their lifetimes, 2000 years ago. All the major religions have myths about the end times, stories about what happens in the end or some kind of judgment day, and then afterwards, things get better. They're all hopeful. And so after I got over my tiny bit of relief that the world didn't end, I was a tiny bit disappointed that nothing seemed to change. There was no obvious shift in life as we know it. Aren't there some things you wish had ended on December 21st with the Mayan calendar? Don't you wish we had begun a new era of 1,000 years of love and peace? Maybe we did. It's probably up to us. So what we're doing today in these ceremonies is releasing what we don't want to carry forward and creating the future we do want. It starts in consciousness. It starts with intention. So, burning bowl. First, let's talk about what to release. And I suggest that you check three possible closets. One is physical. Think about clearing out the clutter or recycling things in terms of your own physical self. Release smoking, release sugar, physical habits that you no longer need. Check the emotional closet. What's in there started as helpful coping skills. Throwing a tantrum when you were 2 years old might have gotten what you wanted. Not so effective now. So you might want to release temper or release criticism. All of our unattractive traits developed because they worked at one point or they kept us safe. But they no longer serve us. The other closet that may be cluttered is relationships. And you may be especially aware of this after the holidays. If you spent time with people you kind of don't like, or people who are mean to you or push your buttons, maybe you have some friends who are just no longer a match. Consider whether you're ready to release relationships or change the way you conduct them. I always get a little resistance when I suggest this. Someone will tell me, well, it's not loving to just cut people out of your life. Loving to whom? What about loving yourself? I'm not suggesting you go home and walk out on your spouse and kids. Although, some of you may know it's time to release a marriage or a friendship or a business partnership. Usually what people write in a few minutes at church for the burning bowl is not that huge, but it's up to you. You still have a couple of days until New Year's. You might want to try an in-depth version of this at home. Spend some time sorting through all three closets, physical, emotional, relational. Decide what you're ready to release. What do you no longer play with? So a couple things to remember about this. One is you don't have to be angry to let something go or let someone go. In fact, it helps if you're not. Anger is a chain. Let go when you're finished with it. like a toy you've outgrown but keep tripping over, or that tattered leather jacket that isn't even warm anymore. Karen Taylor Good, who sang here last spring, has a line in a song I'm sure I've told you before. Sometimes love's not over, sometimes it's just complete. And that's true for anything we have loved. People, places, things, parts of ourselves. When we're done with them, we can just release them with love and gratitude. It's complete. Second thing to remember, you can release what no longer serves you without knowing what it is. So what you submit to the fire today could just be a generic sentence. I release anything that no longer serves me. Then notice what leaves your life in 2013. This takes some courage because at the time it may look like loss. And you'll have to remember, you asked for it, you volunteered for it. You have to assume that whatever leaves your life is something that was complete, although you may not see that right away. There are also a few things I'm not sure we get to release. I'm still thinking about this, so this is just my opinion today. But for years, I wrote the word fear to burn in the burning bowl, and I never seemed to lose my fear. And I've about decided that may not be something I can lose. It has an evolutionary purpose. It's there to keep me safe. Rather than get rid of it, my work is to feel the fear and do it anyway. Or let fear be a companion on the journey and keep it in perspective. My friend Samantha Bennett sends out daily emails, and she said this week, opportunity only looks like opportunity in hindsight. Before it turned out well, it looked like risk. We take risks because we want something better. We volunteer for change because we want something better, and change is the only way to make life better. Otherwise, it's the same old, year after year. So, you don't have to be angry, just complete. Release what no longer serves you, whether you can name it or not. And the third thing is, know that the space being left by whatever you release won't be empty for long. Something will replace it, but that takes courage too, to open yourself to the new and the untried. It might look like risk. And there might be a period of standing there in the cold with bare branches before the renewal begins. This is where white stone comes in. It's a promise of renewal. In the time of Jesus, when someone was released from prison, they were given a white stone. And they could show that stone to prove they'd served their time, paid their debts to society. It was a symbol of freedom. It represented a clean slate. So in Revelation 2:17, a promise was made. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. The name in this case is a word or a phrase to give you a clue about the new year. And some words make more sense than others. For many years, I got the word joy. Every year, I got joy. Pretty clear. Last year, I got the word better. Okay, things will get better. I need to be better. Whatever happens is for the better. Now, at the end of the year, I think it was all of the above. So your word might not make sense to you today. There are some amazing stories of weird words that ended up being exactly right. It's not something you think up, and that's why we listen for the word in meditation. It bubbles up from the inside, or it comes from that place where you connect with the divine or with your inner voice or with your angels. I think of it as angels, and my angels are always just over my right shoulder. So I've started kind of listening in that direction. Other people focus on their hearts. You may or may not have a physical spot, but by now you probably know how you receive divine messages. So go there when we go into meditation. And if you don't know, just be still, clear your mind, let spirit present itself. It's your spirit. It's within and all around you. Your white stones are from Israel. And you remember that names are important in the Bible. They always mean something. And names changed as people changed. So a name change indicated a spiritual awakening. Someone who had connected consciously with the divine was given a new name. And then every time they heard themselves called that new name, I imagine it affirmed for them that their divine light was shining more clearly. At Christmas, we celebrated our own Christ nature. The baby Jesus represents the Spirit of God born in each of us. But then what? We're divine. That's nice. What's next? Next is to align our human nature with the divine. We only need revelation when we've forgotten who we are. Christmas reveals our true identity again. We're made in the image of God. And then we can resume our spiritual journey and enter a new year. Asking for a new name to write on a white stone signifies that you're putting your relationship with the divine first this year. And that's the meaning of the term hidden manna. It's your inner source of strength, nourishment, abundance. You remember when Jesus said, "I have food you know not of"? This is your food. This word represents the sustenance that you will have available all year. Only you know what the word is. You can tell others or not. And only you know what it means for you. So let's enter into meditation. The first is clearing out and releasing, and then waiting to hear a new name or word. This is a more active meditation than usual. So first you need your paper and pen, but don't write yet. Give yourself a few minutes to sink into the deeper brain state. Neither of these exercises comes from a busy mind. They come from deep within. So you might want to close your eyes for a few minutes before you write. I release and I let go. I sweep away anything that is complete or that no longer serves. There's no effort here. It's like releasing a balloon into the sky. Release feelings, negative thoughts, negative behaviors, or even release the good for the better. Is anything complete that you can let go of? And if you don't know, remember the grace prayer. Reveal what needs to be revealed and heal what needs to be healed. So Kit will play while you take a few minutes to write. release whatever does not serve my highest good. I'm grateful for these revelations. I am now willing to release the past. This doesn't mean you'll never think about these things again or feel this way again. But when you do, you can remember, oh, that's been released. I left that in 2012. Let it go again and keep moving on. So set aside that list, and at the end of the service, we'll take the papers outside and burn them up in the fire. Now take the stone and the Sharpie, but don't write yet. Just clear your mind again. Release whatever you just wrote down. If there's more, you can add it later or do this again at home. Just let it go for now. And let yourself sink back into that deeper state. Make sure the connection is strong. And quietly hear this promise again. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. The Christ within, the I am of your being, is giving you a new name. It expands your identity for this year. Ask for a name or a special word to signal your shift in consciousness, to symbolize your renewal or your freedom from prison. Go deep and ask, what is the name or word to carry with me into 2013? Find that place inside you that really wants to know and ask, what will guide me forward this year? What is new life for me? Let the words surface from spirit within you. As we take another moment in the quiet, whenever you're ready, take the pen and write your word on the white stone. On the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Thank you. Look at this new name, your special word. With this word, I enter the new year. Let's affirm it quietly together. With this word, I enter the new year. So again, with feeling. With this word, I enter the new year. You may keep the stone, carry it through 2013. Hold on to your papers till the end of the service, and then each of us will release what no longer serves, what we're not going to carry with us anymore. And so it is. Amen.
Expresses God in me on this white stone. On this white stone, I write my name. Today, as I stand open to divinity in me, I choose my name, I choose my name, a name chosen by Spirit, and then whispered to my heart, from this day I am awakened to the nature God intended with my name. I write my name on a white stone, a name that means both purity and truth. Inner wisdom, silent strength, my name expresses God in me on this white stone. On this white stone, I write.